I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about practice. I mean, listen, we're talking about practice. Not a game. We're talking about practice.
The look away to Livingston. Jordan.
We'll do it live.
Okay.
No. We'll do it live.
Fuck it.
Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live.
We are the Franchise Players. I'm your host, Matt Muncy, along with Brock Stafford. And we got a pretty good one here for you guys tonight. We're going to be discussing the Kings potentially moving to Seattle. Kind of big news that's come up in the last week or so. And I know it's kind of got everyone a little riled up. You know, we got Seattle fans just praying that it happens. You got Sacramento fans praying that it doesn't happen. And then you got the in-betweeners who, you know, you got the guys who want to see Sacramento stay because it's been somewhat of a storied history, maybe not in Sacramento, but the franchise itself, the Kings franchise, has a storied history. So to see it become the Supersonics may not be what everyone wants. But then you have people.
And then there's the last group of people, which is DeMarcus Cousins. Because, frankly, DeMarcus Cousins, who knows what's going to happen with that roster, you know, if this trade, you know, this potential move happens, where, you know, how are you going to disperse all the players? But let's start out talking about just the Kings themselves. Over the past couple of years, the Kings have really been a team that have been lost. They've been a team that, you know, really they haven't done much since you had the team with Doug Christie, you know, Peja, you know, Chris Webber. You know, you had the big, you know, big game players out there, and then when that team folded, really, you didn't see any kind of return to greatness in Sacramento, and it's kind of disappointing to see them at this point. But I mean, now we're talking about a team that, you know, Tyreke Evans was supposed to be a savior of this team. Tyreke Evans isn't doing anything. He can't even decide which position he plays. He's either a point guard, a shooting guard, or a small forward. He doesn't play any of those positions particularly well. You got DeMarcus Cousins, who spends more time, you know, being suspended by his own team than on the floor or taunting other teams. And then you've got a team of in-betweeners who don't really do a whole lot. You know, you've got role players like Marcus Thornton, but really you don't have the kind of team that you'd be expecting for a team that's trying to contend, you know, or at least trying to be relevant. So, I mean, what do you see as a potential happening with a shakeup like this?
Well, obviously, they're going to have to go through a rebuilding process, probably something similar to Oklahoma City and what the Pacers have done. They're probably going to go more Oklahoma City style, just for a simple fact that they can, they're going to be in the top of the NBA draft for the most part, so they're going to have to get to higher players, which isn't a bad thing, but it is time to kind of just overhaul this whole lineup. You have obviously DeMarcus Cousins, who it's time for him to go. It's time for him to get some kind of new, fresh start, and he obviously doesn't want to be there.
Moving cities could help DeMarcus Cousins, a guy who, you know, has yet to find a role for himself in Sacramento. You know, could a move to Seattle help him mentally?
He's a head case. We saw this in Kentucky. He apparently had this problem when he was in high school. So this is something that they took a shot thinking that, you know, oh, well, he'll mature and you know, get better. He's still only 22, but he's obviously had one too many clashes with, you know, the coaching staff, the front office, NBA announcers, referees, other players. It's just the list goes on and on and on. There's just really no viable reason to keep him there. Yes, he is a really good player, but you need him on the floor playing, not being suspended all the time. It's kind of like he's kind of like a Ron Artest. He's really good when he's on. Other times he's just a nutcase. And so there, you know, he needs to come to terms with that fact that he is a nutcase. And moving to Seattle is not going to help him. So moving him is a necessity. Moving Tyreek Evans or just letting him leave as a free agent.
Yeah. That, I mean, honestly, Evans hasn't done a whole lot for him in the past couple of years. No,
he had his one. He had his one big year, I think, his rookie season. He hasn't really done much then. Jimmer Fredette, he's someone that you can sort of build around as a six man.
Really?
Actually, yes. One of the stats I saw was when he was playing at least 20 minutes a game, he was averaging 17 points a game. So why would you not want to build? Why would you not want him to be your six man coming off the bench?
Because you have a lot of players like that on Sacramento. You have guys who could be really great.
That's why I'm saying you build around this. Not you have to dump all of these ridiculous salaries, all of these ridiculous players, and then you build around you. You put him in that six-man spot and start to rebuild.
But to legitimately move some of these players, Tyreek Evans and DeMarcus Cousins, the people who are very talented players but have a lot of character or, you know, just don't have it all under control, you're going to have to use some of these pieces, like Fredette, like Marcus Thornton. You're going to have to use those pieces to move around. I mean, if you were
you wouldn't use Jimmer Fredette. You're not going to use Jimmer Fredette in a trade just to get rid of DeMarcus Cousins. Just like you're not going to use Isaiah Thomas, you're not going to use Thomas Robinson. You have guys on this team that you can get rid of if you really want. Jason Thompson, John Salmons, Travis Outlaw. You know, I mean, if you really want to let go Tyler Honeycutt, people are going to take them. It always happens. You always see the dumbest trades in the NBA because people are taking cap filler, and they're always taking guys who only have like a year or so left on their contract.
Typically, that's in a move with a young player, though. Okay, bottom line. Three players you would see being able to make a move from Seattle or from Sacramento to Seattle.
What do you mean make a move?
If they were to only keep three of the players on the current roster, what three players would they keep?
If I was running that team, yeah. I'd keep Isaiah Thomas, Thomas Robinson, and Jimmer Fredette.
I think I agree with you that, but
that is three of your younger players. You need to completely rebuild this team, so you take those three players and rebuild around them. Jimmer Fredette, for all we know, could step into the lineup and be another Lance Stephenson. You know, he's going to put up the points. He's going to put up the effort. He may not be a superstar, but he's going to do what Jimmer Fredette does, and that's going to be score.
He could also be another J.J. Redick, a guy who, you know, is a great scorer, but really can't do a whole lot to help the team overall. I mean,
but J.J. Redick down in Orlando is helping them.
So porous that, you know, he couldn't stay on the floor.
Yeah, but, you know, now you look at Orlando and he actually is helping them. When you put them in a situation to help instead of just, you know, Redick was just a six-man for the longest time. If that's all Fredette is, that's all Fredette is. But really, I mean, they still have guys like Francisco Garcia. I didn't even know that guy still played. I still remember him playing in college, and that just makes me feel really old.
He had a decent run in the Olympics, I believe.
But he's making $6 million. Why is this guy making $6 million starting?
He got a long, long contract. I think he had a four-year contract when they were still offering stupid deals.
Yeah, and I mean, you got guys like John Salmons, who's making $8 million. Marcus Thornton making $7 million. Jason Thompson, who's making $5 million to basically be an eight-man. I mean, like, their contracts are dumb. They just need to try and unload as much as they can. Before they make this move to Seattle, you want a clean start when you get to Seattle because you want to build the team the way you want it to be built.
Well, and honestly, Thomas Robinson is a guy they're going to keep because he's shown that he's starting to put it all together and starting to get the pieces all together, and he's going to be a legitimate power forward in the league. You know, he just probably needs another year to get a little more seasoning. Isaiah Thomas is from Seattle, so obviously he's a no-brainer to keep. He's a lightning-quick, you know, point guard. However, he he's also kind of one of those things, like, you know, he's that really fast guard. He's like a Darren Collison type. You know, do you trust him as the starting point guard? I mean, that's really the biggest issue is, you know.
But, I mean, we're throwing out these things on guys who have been in the league literally 1 or 2 years.
That's true.
So, I mean, you're trying to say, well, can you trust him? He's only been in the league for 2 years. We're not talking about a guy like Kyrie or a guy like Rubio who you just know has it. Isaiah Thomas isn't going to be a Kyrie. He's not going to be a Rubio, but he's probably going to be enough to be a starter in this league for a dysfunctional team. And that's really all you kind of need. You know, you have to have those pieces you have to have those guys who ride the six-man/starter line. And so that way you have guys who can just step in and start, and it doesn't throw off your team, and it doesn't throw them off thinking, oh man, now I'm in the starting lineup. I have to, you know, change everything I do. I have to play differently. Like, you have to have those guys with the mindset of, I can start, and I'm just going to use this as my opportunity to show what I have. And I feel like him and Robinson and Fredette, those are the kind of guys who are going to do that, especially Fredette, who may or may not have a chip on his shoulder from, you know, getting drafted in the top 10, but everyone kind of claiming, you know, he's not really NBA and he hasn't really got a chance to play all that much. But I feel like the move to Sacramento, or the move to Seattle from Sacramento, it's sad because it destroys a Kings franchise that has been around since 45.
Let's talk about traditions. You go with the Kings. You know, the Kings have been a team that have moved around the league a couple of times.
About five.
Yeah, right. So they're one of the oldest franchises still in existence in the league right now. You know, not the most storied of franchises. Really, the most recent history that they've been really successful was when they were, you know, when you had that great team that went against the Lakers in, you know, Western Conference Finals. You know, the team that, you know, was always knocking on the door but could never quite overcome the Lakers in their full swing mode in the early 2000s. Other than that, the Kings have had a pretty quiet history.
Well, I mean, they had Oscar Robinson back in the heyday. They did have Chris Webber. They did have Mitch Richmond. They've had classic teams. They've had superstars, Hall of Famers on those teams. They just were never, you know, because of front office and coaching, they've never been able to develop the team like it should be. And it's very similar to the LA Clippers. The LA Clippers have been around for a really long time, but they've never really had that team until now that you could say, oh my gosh, you know, they may actually do something. And I think that's
which is funny, because looking at the Clippers on paper right now, I wouldn't say they're a team that somehow they just click. The chemistry works for that team.
Yeah, I mean, the chemistry is off the charts. But I feel like being in Sacramento is what has hurt the Kings franchise, for the simple fact of Sacramento is, you know, up north. There's not really a lot around there. And you have Golden State, you have the Clippers and the Lakers. You have all these great teams.
They're effectively a poor team in their state.
Yeah. So for me, moving to Seattle, I love this because I want to see the Supersonics come back, but I also hate seeing the Kings go away. So it's one of those things. I really wish that the league would just expand, because in my thought process, there are a lot of people right now playing overseas, playing in the D League, not even playing anywhere, who could easily be on these rosters and make a difference. I mean, how do we know we don't have, you know, another guy who is just chilling out there, not getting a chance to play, but he could just be the next best thing? I mean, you hear about these stories all the time. So
well,
why
that's true, but the biggest issue is trying to integrate a single team is hard enough. Trying to balance it out between East and West by adding two teams would be a lot of difficulties. Just trying to make all the rosters balance out, trying to get the expansions taken care of, trying to get, you know, playoffs seeding, you know, done right. You know, it would require revising a lot of the issues that, you know, effectively make up our current, you know, standing. You'd have to redivision thing, which that's something we've talked about before and something that I wouldn't be opposed to. However, trying to integrate more teams is always harder than it sounds on paper, and this move would not really effectively change too much because you would just be adding another team to the Pacific Northwest, which the Kings are already there, so it's not really much of a change. So,
but my thought process is you can move the Kings somewhere else, and the reason I say that is we've had so many talks about like Kansas City wanting a basketball team, and you know, spots like that, Jacksonville wanting a basketball team. There's all these other cities that want basketball teams.
And the Kings were in Kansas City at one point.
I know, but that's what I'm saying is they obviously want to go back. So, but I just feel like you're getting rid of the Kings, you're getting rid of a franchise. It's done. I mean, I look at New Orleans and how New Orleans is getting rid of the Hornets name, giving it back to Charlotte. So we're going to lose the Bobcats, which isn't that big of a deal because no one cares about the Bobcats. You put it back to the Charlotte Hornets, people start giving a damn. But now we're going to have, you know, basically a new franchise. We're going to have the New Orleans Pelicans for whatever reason. But that's going to basically be a new franchise because you're not going to think of them as the Hornets anymore. It's always going to be the Pelicans.
Well, I'm glad that Charlotte Hornets are going back. I really wish the Jazz would go back to New Orleans instead of, you know, not quite making any sense in, you know, Utah.
Yeah, but, and I feel like if they weren't doing so well, that might change, but since they've actually done pretty well the last 10 years, unlikely for them to move anytime soon.
Well, I mean, the issue is really, you know, you can rebrand teams, you know, but effectively the Thunder were created from the Supersonics. They were a brand new franchise, and it takes time to rebuild, you know, a fan base. Seattle is going to be welcoming, you know, a basketball team with open arms. They've missed their Supersonics. They really have. I feel bad for Seattle because Seattle, you know, for the most part, you could see a lot of support. You know, you've got Kevin Johnson, who really, really tried to keep the team there and has done everything in his power as mayor to try to help push it through. But unfortunately, I don't see the support from Seattle in keeping the team there. You know, the fans are, I'm sure, fairly supportive, but you're just not seeing the same kind of support from the leadership. And it's unfortunate because Sacramento has had a good relationship with the Kings and really love the Kings. I just don't feel like I think Seattle is going to appreciate having a team again more at this point. I think we really need to think about these cities that are going to, number one, embrace their teams wholeheartedly. Like Oklahoma City has gone crazy for the Thunder. We need more teams, you know, more locations like that, that are going to completely embrace your team. You know, I just see so much difficulty in doing expansions and doing these kind of moves, because when you said rebuilding another franchise is destroying, you know, somebody else's franchise. It's a tough thing to do.
I pulled up the attendance so far for this year, and ranking dead last are the Kings. So we obviously know that no one really cares about the Kings. With that said, no one really cares about the Pistons. Nobody cares about the Hornets. Nobody cares about the Bucks. Nobody cares about the Pacers. Those are your bottom five teams. And it's sad because the Pacers are knocking on the door of being number one in the East, and they still can't get people through the door. The Hawks and the Suns are two other teams that have below 15,500 fans a game. They actually have below 15,000 a game. That the Bobcats, the Wizards, are you joking me right now? The Wizards are averaging more fans per game than those seven teams.
That's crazy.
Yeah. How is it that the worst team in the league is beating out all those teams? And if you notice, one, two, three, four of them are from the East. I just don't feel like there's a lot.
And which of those teams have winning records?
We got what, two, three, maybe three, four, because the Hawks have a winning record. So the Suns, because I'm pretty sure they have one. The Hawks, the Pacers, maybe the Bucks. So, I mean, we're looking at between two and four.
But it's really disappointing to see, you know, teams that have any kind of success I think they're overwhelmed by the success of. I know Milwaukee has always been, you know, they're the third sport in Milwaukee next to the Packers and to the Brewers. You go down to Atlanta, you've got, you know, the Falcons. I mean, really, you know, you've got you know, teams. Pistons, well, honestly, they're just terrible, but I think it's a lack of consistency on these teams. The Hawks, I think, have been good enough so long that but they don't go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Much like the Falcons, I think people just get burned out after a while of trying to support a team that's just, you know, so-so. I really think Seattle is a good landing spot. The Kings, unfortunately, they just don't have the sustainability to keep a team there. They don't have a new arena. That was a big breaking point for this club, was you know, trying to get a new arena funded. They just couldn't get the support to do it, and finally they did it. And the Maloofs didn't feel like Sacramento had backed them enough be able to, you know, keep a team there and get a new stadium built. So really, let's get down to it. The Maloofs, kind of a Vegas family, right?
Well, yeah, they are a Vegas family. They own the Palms or something like that. They own one of the big casinos down there.
They own several of the big casinos.
Yeah, but on the flip side of that, from what I've been reading, they're also in major debt, which is one of the reasons they're trying to sell the Kings, is to get money for that. And so they're looking to get about $500 to $525 million. From what I've read, if the new group lets the Maloofs have, you know, like a 1% stake in the team or something, they're looking at about a $500 million transaction. If they completely kick the Maloofs out, which is what they want to do, they're looking at about $525 million. And you know, from everything I've read, it's either the Maloofs are gone or it's basically a deal breaker, which makes sense. Why would you want people who haven't cared about the team since they bought them to have any stake in your...
Now, I will say the Maloofs have cared about the team, and, you know, for a good part, they have tried to involve themselves. But I think they've overly involved themselves in the franchise, and I feel like
this was a group of people who bought a team to say they bought a team. They had no basketball knowledge. They had no...
That's more the issue, is I think they are passionate about their team because it's their team, but I don't think they understand how to run a basketball team. And I think that's the biggest issue, is you have to find owners who are savvy about the sport and know what they're buying. You're with how expensive, you know, things are costing now, how much luxury tax is coming out every single season. You don't have the kind of investors who are just saying, "Hey, I feel like owning a team." You have people who have to be serious about the sports and serious about the business of the sports to be able to sustain that, you know, success. And I just don't think the Maloofs have that or have that desire anymore, because, I mean, you saw how long they tried to keep the Kings in, you know, Sacramento, and it just never materialized in any kind of way to, you know, keep an arena there. So, you know, and a disappointing team year after year. At a certain point, that comes down to business decisions. Hiring a coach that, you know, actually knows what they're doing, having a team that makes sense on paper. You know, it's business decisions. the Thunder really took off because they have very smart leadership. They have a loyal fan base, and they have people who are willing to do that. And I really think that's what's going to help, you know, Seattle be successful, is you have to have that fan base who is driving the driving force behind your team, and you have to have smart owners who know what they're doing to lead a team to success. That's what you have to be able to succeed. And I just don't think that in any way, shape, or form, the roster, leadership, coaching, I just don't see any kind of direction that the Kings have had for the past few years. And I don't see it improving unless they do move to Seattle.
Yeah, and I feel like the move to Seattle, it just has to happen at this point, unfortunately. It'll be, I think, the second or third team. I guess it'd be the third team that we've seen move, I guess, in our lifetime, that I can at least remember. So it's something that's kind of becoming commonplace, but it still kind of sucks when you have to see it happen. But I feel like it's going to be great. You know, Seattle's going to get a boost, and I feel like, you know, they'll move this team there. They'll kind of get a boost in energy and wanting to play at someplace new. And they'll bring in all these players who want to play there, and you'll have the revival of the Supersonics. You can, go out and sign Sean Kemp and Gary Payton. And, you know, it's going to be amazing. And, oh, wait, no, you can't sign those guys. But, I mean, you could probably sign Gary Payton's son.
I don't know. Gary Payton might be seeking another ring, so.
I mean, I'm pretty sure Gary Payton has a son out there somewhere. Sean Kemp's probably got about 8 of them, so one of them have to be old enough to play basketball. So I'm guessing that there's those people. But, yeah, it looks like it's not going to happen for another year or two. Funny enough, I was seeing around 2014, and, hey, LeBron's free possibly come 2014. Maybe they can sign him. Maybe he can resurrect the Supersonics. I don't know, but that would be kind of funny. But I think in the end,
let's do some quick final thoughts. What are your final thoughts? What's the biggest reason, if you were to pitch Seattle on why this is a good move for them? What would you say? 30 seconds.
I would say it's a good move because you're bringing back a franchise that, while the fan base wasn't there at one point, it's now there. Equated them to a child who doesn't want to play with a toy until another child wants to play with it. They now know what it feels like to lose that team, to lose what they, you know, had, and now they want it back. And now they're going to get it back, and they will probably cherish it. And I'm sure for the first couple of seasons, the attendance will be skyrocketed. And, you know, as long as that front office can build a team and get them winning immediately, then they'll be all right. But if they fall back into the Sacramento way of things or the old Sonic way of things, then it's just not going to go anywhere, and it's just going to be another miserable failure that we see a team moving in the next 15 years.
My words of caution to Seattle. Seattle, if you get yourself a basketball team, enjoy your team. But here's a caution. You have two different ways you can go with this. You can go the Thunder route, where they rebuilt through very smart leadership, really good coaching, and really young talent that they were able to develop into stars. Or you can go the Bobcats route, have leadership who seems to not know where they're going, coaching that doesn't make sense for the team they have, and not really building a roster that is cohesive, you know, valuable, or worth the picks. You've got to be smart about how you rebuild this. And some of the best ways to do that is get rid of the DeMarcus Cousins head case, whether they be the Maloofs, who, as good hearted as they are towards the team, have not helped it in the slightest in the past couple of years. You just need to find an equilibrium that's going to work. So you have options. You better take the right option, because otherwise, we could be talking about the Supersonics moving in the next 5 years.
Exactly. So, all right. Well, that's going to do it for this show, episode 2. This has been a lot of fun. You can check out our website, franchiseplayerspodcast.com. We got new stuff up there every day right now.
Every single day.
Yeah. And you can check out the first episode where we kind of went over the Paul Gasol possible trades there. You can follow us on Twitter. It's FP_podcast. Try to get everything updated there daily, best I can. Don't have a Facebook page yet. We will one day, maybe. And you can email us, franchiseplayerspodcast@gmail.com. Any kind of stories you want to see, anything you want to hit on, if you want to be on the show, let us know. We can definitely work you into that. This is a fan podcast, you know, basically for fans by fans. So anything to help us out, that would be great. But you know, that's gonna do
it. We take cash donations.
Yes, we will take cash donations. If you do want to be on the show, we will not require it. But hey, if you want to pay to be on the show, that works too. But all right, so we're gonna end this one now. This has been a great show, and you know, thanks for listening. Come back next time.